The Food and Drug Administration has called a meeting of its vaccine advisors for September 17th to discuss booster doses of the coronavirus vaccine. It comes just a day after two senior FDA officials resigned over frustrations with the Biden administration's plans to move forward with recommending COVID-19 booster shots without their prior approval. Joining me now to discuss this and more is Dr. Angelo Rasmussen, virologist with Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization at the University of Saskatchewan. We're also joined by our health reporter, Anjali Kamlani. My thanks to you both for joining us. So, Doctor, I want to start with what appears to be this dissension in the medical community about the need and timeline for these booster shots. They're supposed to be widely available starting September 20th. For those who had their second dose of the vaccine 8 months prior, right? Lots of rules there. What is your feeling on that timeline? Do you agree with it?
So I do, and this is something that I very recently changed my position on. Even a few weeks ago, I was not convinced of the need for a third booster shot for the mRNA vaccine regimens. But increasingly, we've been seeing data coming out that does suggest that the mRNA vaccines, and particularly the Pfizer vaccine, is experiencing a drop in vaccine effectiveness in terms of being able to prevent symptomatic COVID-19, both caused by the Delta variant and really any other variant. And this drop has occurred over time. Last week, a paper came out in the Journal of the American Medical Association that showed a head-to-head comparison of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, and that has showed a decrease in vaccine effectiveness, again, more with Pfizer, over time. Now, this isn't actually that unusual. We do have a number of vaccine regimens that are three-shot vaccine regimens that do require an additional booster months after the original vaccine regimen. So I think that the data is starting to really support this. I think that the main issue here is that the White House came out and made this recommendation without the general scientific community actually getting a look at this data and without the FDA's guidance and regulatory approval. So this is really more of a question of who's in charge, who's making these recommendations, and on what basis are they making them than the fact that they aren't supported. I do think that increasingly this decision is supported by the data.
Now, the FDA is considering whether to authorize a lower dose of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine for boosters than the dose given in the first two shots. Can you explain to us why that is and why aren't we seeing that happen with Pfizer's shot?
So there's a difference in the dose between Pfizer and Moderna. The mRNA itself that encodes the spike protein from SARS coronavirus 2 is essentially identical between these two vaccines. But the Pfizer vaccine is being given in 30 microgram doses compared to the 100 microgram doses given for Moderna. And that may explain why we are seeing some differences this far out in terms of vaccine effectiveness in the real world between the two vaccines. The reason why Moderna is proposing a 50 microgram reduced dose for the third booster is that a clinical trial has been conducted using that dose. So you don't necessarily need to give as high of a dose. The issue is not necessarily so much the dose of the third shot. It is re-exposing your immune system to the spike protein to really let it know that it needs to lock in those protective memory immune responses to it. So in that case, a lower dose might be more appropriate and also might be less reactogenic, meaning there are fewer side effects. So I think that is the reasoning for approving a lower third dose of Moderna.
Dr. Anjali here, really good to speak with you again. I'm wondering about the point you made about, you know, we do have some vaccines that are three dose courses. Do you think that that's sort of what we're looking at right now, that COVID could be a three and done? And if so, what's the potential impact on, say, these theories or ideas that maybe we would need an annual shot against this disease?
I mean, a lot of this really still does remain to be seen. So normally in the vaccine development process, one of the reasons it takes so much longer than the expedited process that we've seen for the COVID-19 vaccines is that they do look at durability and they usually look at multiple types of dosing regimens so that once it is approved by the FDA, really the optimal dosing regimen is approved. Obviously, this is a crisis and an emergency, and we didn't have the luxury of taking the time to truly optimize this. And I think that's what we're really seeing now. In terms of will we need annual boosters, that really depends on a lot of different things. That depends on potentially the emergence of new variants that are more evasive to these vaccines, although I'm less inclined to think that that's a possibility, given that what we've seen with the variants that have emerged thus far, first Alpha and then Delta, have really outcompeted the other more vaccine or immunity evasive variants like Beta and Gamma. So I think that we may not need to reformulate the vaccine to be variant specific in a year. That would change the calculus as to whether or not we need to do annual boosters. I'm inclined to think that if the virus doesn't continue to spread and doesn't continue to produce emergent variants that are very resistant to the vaccines, that we would probably not need annual booster shots, provided that a third shot can provide this long-term protective immunity that I was describing.
I want to talk about something you said earlier about, you know, the discussion over the FDA and sort of bring it full circle to also include the CDC. I know in general, there have been a lot of discussions about the quote unquote whiplash that's being felt as new information comes in and as the guidance changes. How should we think about all of it put together, including sort of what we hear coming out from the White House and how that is all being played out when it comes to how Americans should really be thinking about how to deal with this disease?
I think that there's a few things that people need to think about. And one is what the roles of the FDA, the CDC, and the White House actually are. And also to consider that this is a generational pandemic, really. This is something that hasn't happened in any of our lifetimes. And so our agencies, like us, are imperfect. We have a new administration that came in the middle of this pandemic, and that has changed the way that these agencies are run. But what really happens is the CDC and the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices, which is based at the CDC, but includes scientists from the FDA, as well as independent scientists from academia and medicine, are the ones who make recommendations and guidance about what we should be doing for vaccines, what other measures we should be taking. The FDA's role in all of this is to actually regulate things. The White House, I think, is trying to lead in a very uncertain time in the face of constantly changing evidence, and they are in touch with both the FDA and the CDC. So I think it's important for people to understand that these three agencies, or really these two agencies and then the overall executive branch of the government, aren't at odds with each other necessarily. They're trying to figure out how to work together when they have somewhat competing goals. They have different agency missions, and they're really just trying to make the right decision in the face of great uncertainty. The White House has said that their recommendation for boosters was contingent on the FDA actually authorizing that. So what people should understand is that nothing's gonna happen without the FDA ultimately authorizing that decision, since they are the agency that is responsible for regulating drugs. However, the White House, the CDC, the Department of Human Health and Services, and the NIH will all continue to make recommendations and guidance. And given that there's just a lot that we still don't know, I mean, it's hard to believe we aren't even 2 years into this pandemic and new data is emerging all the time. At first, especially in early days, that may seem like these agencies are at odds with each other, but really it is just a feature of different agencies with different goals, making different conclusions based on emerging evidence bases.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there, but obviously a conversation that we need to continue at another time. Dr. Angela Rasmussen, thanks so much, and our thanks to our health reporter, Anjali Kamla.